Hi, and welcome to Reward-Based Riding. This is a podcast about creating balance using reward-based training techniques. And today we are going to look a little bit more into creating balance with session structure as a tool. And we're going to talk a little bit about pause as a session structure tool and how to create balance with different setups in our training. And I have a guest today as a if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see her. This is Do Groen from the Netherlands. Hi, welcome, Do.
Thank you for having me.
Do and I are already working together in our reward-based horse academy. But you can also find Do under, which I guess so far is more familiar to people, Horses with Choices. That's where you can find Do's teaching in Dutch. And your courses and English. Yeah. All right. Today, we are going to have a bit of a look back in how it looked when we started and view session structure from that point and how session structure has helped us build a better balance in our training. So let's start with you first, though.
Yes. Well, I actually didn't really think about session structure or balance that much when I crossed over to reward-based training. I started clicker training and my horses got really enthusiastic, really happy to work with me, and which I thought was really awesome. I mean, who doesn't want a horse that wants to work with them, right? But some other things arise from that, some problems arise from that, you know, that maybe before you didn't have to think about. Like, my horse is so enthusiastic, they don't want to stop training, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of follow-up to that. Also, horses being large animal can be very intimidating when they like training so much that they actively try to prevent us from stopping training or fight at the gate or stuff like that. And I mean, like you, I did think a lot about balance, but mostly physical balance. And I guess because I worked a lot with stressed horses back then too, but my way to help them was through physical balance mostly. So I did certainly not approach training from more of an how can we start with creating emotional balance, which is what we are passionately gonna talk about now, I think. So looking back for me also, I think just taking a horse into the training arena was, I didn't even think about that. I tried to prevent the other horses from maybe throw a treat or two to make them stop, you know, and then the horse I was going to train with, like, yeah, now we're in, phew, that went well, you know. But it was, like you said, quickly turned into a problem how much said horse wanted to train. So from that perspective, can you like go into a session, how a session did look like and what was the actual, why was it a problem for you all of a sudden?
Yeah, I think we can look at both the horse and the human in this occasion, why it was a problem for the horse and why it was a problem for the human. I think if we look at the human first, well, the horse really eager to train, and the human, you know, doesn't know how to stop the training, you know, like what you talked about, the horse being big and it might feel a little bit overwhelming or scary if the horse comes in your space and you don't know what to do. My strategy could be to throw some food in a bucket and just run out of the training arena before they finish their food so that I would be away and they would be done, you know, they would be done with their food, but I wouldn't be there to run around or whatever. So that would stop the training, just excusing myself out of the area.
Yeah. Excusing, you know? Myself. That is well said. I think also, because I also had experienced the other side of it with a horse that was so used to me telling her what to do and find a lot of safety in that. I am guessing she find that, like, I know how this system works. I listen to the human and she tells me things and then I do them. And she was one of those horses that we might be tempted to describe as, ah, oh, she's not really into food. But of course, she was, you know, she is a living creature after all. But in the beginning, we had a, like, kind of a long time where she didn't feel safe enough to engage and relaxed enough to engage in behaviors of her own. So I think that is that kind of balance. Now we have two binary examples here, but I think that kind of balance is very, is equally important to think about as well.
Yeah, yes, I agree. And I started to talk about the problem for the human.
Yes.
But yes, you also start to mention the problem for the horse. And this other example, which is kind of a little bit of the opposite of the example that I was talking about, the horse that doesn't want to stop training, is also a problem for the horse, of course, because they get so overexcited, maybe over aroused. Well, a lot of labels that we can put on this type of behavior. Frustration can come up, you know, when something you want and you cannot get it or don't know how to get it. A lot of those kind of emotions that we are actually not looking for in our training and that we don't want our horses to feel.
Yes. And especially starting the training already from a bit of an aroused mode, I mean, often it only gets worse after that, even if we train for a long time, which sometimes can be the solution for sure. But if we can start on a good note, this is both our choices, of course. And we're going to talk a little bit about pause now, I'm guessing. So I'm going to do a quick definition of what we mean when we talk about pause. And for us, pause, that means taking a break from training, just relaxing in each other's presence. And when we say pause, like a passive pause, that then we mean that the environment is doing the reinforcement. And when we actively train, when there's active training, then the trainer reinforces. Exactly. Okay, we are pointing at each other now, if you're not seeing us. Then the trainer reinforces the horse. So it's, the definition is sort of, where does the reinforcer come from? And to build on this, pause as a structure tool, what does that mean for you in your training nowadays?
Well, that like you just said, that the horse is okay with having reinforcers not coming from me, but from the environment. That gives me the time to set up my training, to think about my plan or what to do, and to set up my training in between the training sessions. I can have breaks and
take breaks and think about stuff and plan. I guess it gives both of you a bit of a time.
Yeah, I was now going again to the human where, for me, it's very important to, after a little session, to have a little time for myself and process what just happened and what I'm going to do next and what I'm going to change about my setup, etc. And then also, of course, this helps the horse too. And to bring back, if maybe something happened where energy and emotion might go up, doing a little bit of pause might help bring the horse back down.
Perfect. Yeah, I for me as a human too, I'm not the most patient person. Pause is not something I'm still need some work there, but I'm better. But at least it gives me, in the beginning, I didn't experience that I needed a pause, because often when I send my horses to pause, I am keeping working, I'm doing stuff, fixing stuff, setting up the next repetition or something like that. But to actually think a little bit about what pause brings to me, like you say, you are better at pause than me, is very also, I think, super helpful for setting up the next repetition. So that's actually, it's hopefully a little bit better than the previous one, you know?
Yeah, it really improved my training that way. So yeah, I'm really happy with what that brought me. But I think the most important change is how the relaxation that it brought to the horse, which then, you know, comes back into the training tenfold.
Yes. So. And this also, I think the two horses that we have now described, if we're looking at those horses, I mean, the we have sort of the same medicine for both of them, that is a training pause, which we, as we said, this for sure for both of us a trained behavior that we actively train with our horses, but also what it brings beyond this relaxation that you talk about here is that we don't need, because that was sort of the previous solution as well, build a behavior repertoire as quickly as possible so the horse knew a bit more words on our new language so we could speak together. So I think that's also the why I think the pause work is a bit brilliant, that it actually, you can start from day one and it's gonna grow in your training every day, I think. Yeah,
definitely. Yes, you don't need to have all this behavior in place, and you can start right from scratch. And of course, your behaviors will build alongside, as will pause. So what it might look like on day one, it may not look like that a year later, you know, but the concept is still there.
Yeah, and it might, of course, we are all changing every day. I think some days are better than others when it comes to pause and relaxation as well. But just to show how it grows in our training and how it deepens in our training as well. Maybe we should, maybe you should give an example to start with. How does it look when Doe is asking one horse to come train?
Is asking, sorry?
One of your horses to come train.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. I love to start from pause, actually. So if I have separated one horse in an area where I'm going to train my training area, I just start with, hey, maybe can you just eat some hay or, you know, some alfalfa over there, and I'll go set up my training and think about my plan. And if I'm ready with that, I might call her over, you know, call her name and ask her to come. So she will come, we do some nice training together and some repetitions, and I might bring her back to pause and say like, hey, we're having a break now, maybe you can just eat some food over there and hang out, and we'll see, maybe we do another session later, or maybe this was it, you know, you can do several sessions follow up, or have it just one.
Yeah exactly. Which means that the pause cue and the end of session cue, they can sometimes be the same, you know? And I think also, like, I know that you have a specific pause place in your training arena, which is sort of set up where you often have a little hay, access to hay, and you can throw other types of reinforcers on that hay.
Exactly.
But it's a specific place in your riding arena. And I have the same setup. And often when I just open the gate, my horses go directly. They already have a direction because they know this is the pause play. And let's go over there. And they already, the mindset is already there. Okay, we start like this, which gives me so much freedom in setting up the rest of the session, I feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you want to say something?
No, sorry. Yeah, no, I was just agreeing with you. That really gives a lot of freedom. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And I mean, now, in the beginning, this is often how it looks. This is often how it looks with the access to hay and stuff like that. Some, when we have set the tone, because I really think this is like, hey, let's set the tone for our pre-work this day. It's going to be calm. It's going to be relaxed. We're both going to enjoy this. That gives the horse a exit point, but also us, like you said earlier, that it's good for me, I need time to think. Also when the rider is a bit confused, like, what happened now? This went a bit too fast. Just to access pause place can be huge reinforcers for the rider too. And this means, of course, okay, now we take a break. We are both happy about taking a break. You want to expand on that?
Yeah, totally. No, I was just, you saw me smiling probably because this is what happens for me sometimes, that I do feel like, oh, okay. Oh, I really need to process this. And I'm so happy that I can just bring my horse to paws, and my horse is happy about it, and I have some time to process all this. And I was also thinking about something else you said, you know, like your horse just goes into the arena and just goes straight to the paws place where there is some hay. And how I was thinking about this previously, because I always had hay available for my horse in the paddock. So I was like, okay, I have an alternative food source, you know, so everything is set. They have choice, they can opt out, they can say no because there's other food there. But that's not really, I found that it's not really how it works, and that it is actually a trained behavior. And that, you know, when the first time you come into the arena with your horse and you have some hay there, well, they might be very much into what you have in your pocket, and training with you is on much higher value than going to paws place and eat some hay. So that is really something that we have to invest in. It's a trained behavior that really, yeah, you need to put some time in. It's actually a balance between training and paws. As you know, you're talking about balance a lot. It's a continuous balancing act, like you also mentioned a little bit before. Like, not every day is equal, and we might work a little bit more on it on some days than on other days. Also,
yeah. Very, very good point about the yeah, but I have hay, he can choose that. That's a very good point. Of course, I think also the to stress that, yeah, but we train this behavior to train them to work from reinforcers in the environment. Because that's sort of the idea with this whole thing, to be able to expand on our paws behavior is to, for us at least, to make the horse comfortable in the environment, to make the horse independent and encourage the horse to, hey, maybe you can search the environment a little bit. This is something we want to bring to when we are not in the lab, in the training arena, when we go out in the real world, so to speak. That's really a mindset we want to build on with our horses, together with our horses. And to this note also, this means, of course, that maybe when we have set the tone, every session does not include, they don't look the same. Maybe every session doesn't include, okay, now we go and eat hay all the time. Maybe one session is just 10 minutes, go in, find the paws place, but then we start and there's not too much paws in that session. Or when we go out, of course, paws looks very, very different.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about that balancing act. And I like how you mentioned the independence, because that's the other part of this, you know, the goal. Actually, you know, we want to have the relaxed horse on one side, the low frustration, and on the other side, the high independence is another goal that we would like to achieve. So yeah, I like how you mentioned that.
Yeah, and I mean, also, I mean, we won't probably stay so much longer on this subject, but just to mention how paws can grow in the training is, of course, one example is riding. That maybe we can discuss the exact definition here when I'm actually sitting on my horse, because I would still say, okay, now we're doing a passive pause when I'm riding my six-year-old, and we can't work for that long of a time frame altogether. So we do a lot of pauses from me from the saddle, and I try to be as passive as possible, but he's very good at pausing from the saddle, which mainly looks like I throw a reinforcer on the ground or on something, and he takes that as a cue. Okay, I'm eating those reinforcers, and then go starting to like explore. Did she lose some treats here? Usually she drops some little treats around the pedestal. Maybe I go and check them. Then I ask him to, just like you said, I say my horse's name, and that is sort of the start cue. Hey, should we start work again? Which, when we have worked on this, it works surprisingly well. One might think that it wouldn't, but I am surprised myself how well it is actually working. So just to show you the nuances of this pause.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. And how much clarity this communication brings that you just described. Like, You give this pause cue and your horse knows exactly what's what and what he can do and what he can be about. And when you give your start cue, you're back in connected and into training again.
And yeah, important point here as well, why we spend time building this behavior and later put our cue on it is, of course, so that we don't want to end up in negative punishment land. So suddenly access to training is not there and the horse can get frustrated. Okay, she's cueing. Now we're not going to interact anymore. So that's also, of course, the point of spending a lot of time building this behavior strong before we start to use it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, the way you build it. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Do we have, I mean, now we sort of ended up as pause, but
well, it's a word we love, so
yeah. Can we maybe bring up some other session structure tools that we find important? Do you have any in mind like this? I mean, planning our session is of course a good idea often, but this sort of includes in that. Shall I go then?
Yeah, you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think structure wise also, I mean, now we have talked about how it looks, maybe, well, we talked a little bit about everything actually, but if we take the new horse, the new in positive reinforcement training technique horse, if you take that horse, then the session can be when we don't have so much trained behavior, and the session sort of surrounds the pause is what glues the session together. Structure wise, of course, we can use our already existing behaviors to help us here. And if we have a large behavior repertoire, of course, this is helping us with the structure of the session as a whole. For sure, but that is maybe a question for a little bit later. Those sort of working in stations and working with set station, like pause is a station. And you have other station also, like the mat, why we choose to bring in behaviors like standing on the mat is also because it's a very good structure, session structure tool, a very clear one for the horse. So environment setup can be helpful. I feel I talked for a very long time.
No, but good points that you're making, definitely. And yeah, I think we have mentioned it before how PAS is such a useful tool to start with, like in the beginning when we don't have a lot of other behaviors to fall back on. And definitely the other environmental setups can help with structuring our session.
Yeah, and of course, taking our horse out of the riding arena or the training area, well, that's a trained behavior too. But I just want to maybe shortly mention it because that also includes, at least for me, throwing the reinforcer on the ground. If I'm not leaving my horses on the training for a while, which I often do, if I'm more in a hurry and like I'm going to train all three of them in a row, then the last thing that is going to happen is that we are going to step out of the gate and go out to the paddock again. And that usually means that the last reinforcer I throw is on the grass, on the ground, or on the snow or stuff like that. So that is also something I put some training in working, just to mention. Well, yeah. I guess it looks sort of the same for you now.
Yeah, and even like you mentioned, in going outside, like going out for walks, you take your same tools actually that you build in the arena. You take them outside as well, you know, for like having a start cue or having maybe a pause cue. If you let your horse graze something in the environment, and we're going to the forest and have some grass somewhere or something, and asking them to come back to you and continue training or walking together or whatever the training might look like that day. So that's perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. Bring it outside is, yeah, a very relevant question, of course. But sure, now we passionately talked here for quite some time. Maybe we should wrap it up. And if you are interested in structuring your session a little bit better, or know what we think are good, a good recipe for baking your pause and baking your session structure.
Exactly. And how to apply it then in your own situation for your own horse and your own setup, because of course, not every setup is the same, and how you are holding, or not holding your horses, that's Dutch English, how you are keeping your horses, that might look different. So it's always good to take that information and discuss and look back at how can I use this information and how will it work for my situation.
Yeah. Well, perfect.
That's something that we're going to do here in December with two workshops that we're doing, 5-hour workshops.
And yeah, that's going to be a very intense 2 days, I think. And workshop, like we're going to, exactly what Do just said, we're going to look at the setup, your setup, compared to our, and see how we can help you structure your own setting so best to help your horse. We're actually going to expand on this subject. And if you want to start next year with us, that is also a 2-week course on the same subject. You're getting that workshop if you buy the... How is that? Though, can you please help me out?
I'm bad of course. At this. No. When you buy the course, you'll get the workshop for free. So there's still some time and some spots left if you want. And in the course, we're going to do, talk about, it's the same subject, but what we're going to do in the course is that we're also going to ask you to train and send in your videos so that we can really have detailed personalized feedback for you and help you on that and progress on building that behavior and building those structure tools for your session to have this relaxed and confident horse that we are all looking for. So. You already mentioned it's going to be intense, but I'm also thinking it's going to be a lot of fun. So,
to me, those are the same, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine, but it's also a topic that's, of course, and not only dear to our heart, but also, it brings us so much because it's just the foundation of everything that we built upon. And if you have that right attitude and mindset and relaxation, you can build everything on top of that. So I'm looking forward to it.
So am I. And if you are too, link is in the show notes. All right.
And any questions, just let us know. We'd love to talk some more about it.
As you hear. But okay, great, thank you though. And if you wanna reach us as a team, Reward-Based Horse Academy is the place to find us, and feel free to email us. Their email is the very best way to contact us. If you want to access those other training, you also have the link in the show notes. And of course, if you're interested in what I'm doing, you'll find it there too.
Great.
All right, great.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Okay, bye.
Bye.